Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Heart to Heart.
The Lord is
moving mightily by the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us in the heart. Those who love Him are attracted to the light of God's Word. God's Word is light, a blessing, health, and understanding. The Lord helps me. He helps us to go forward in Him. All that we do, all that we proclaim is from the love of the life of God. We love God. And because we love God and the life of God, the life that He's given us so generously, we're able to do things that we normally could not do. The Lord moves mightily by His Spirit, and He gives us the ability to love just like He does. To at our will, we can love others. We can seek to be a blessing. We can take Him at His word and help others go forward in life. The last broadcast, we talked about yielding to God. The more we yield to Him, that's where the power is. That's where we receive power to make the change we're going to make. And every anointing has ability in it. As long as we activate it, it works. Whatever we need, if we're anointed to do something, we can do it. When a man it's not just preaching, whatever you need to get the job done, the anointing enables you to get it done. And it attracts the right people to help get the job done. And the Lord has so much to say to His people. As we seek Him and learn and get a revelation of what He's doing and what he has in His heart, it gets in our heart. When we receive His word on purpose in our heart, we learn, we grow. It's more than just an education. We're not just learning a lot of facts. We're receiving life and the knowledge of life, the knowledge of love. See, the word of God is the knowledge of love. When we receive God's word in our heart, we do it on purpose. Now, the light of God's word, when you walk into the presence of somebody that loves God, that hear Him out, if you walked in God's presence, if you were in a praise and worship service and the Lord walked in His presence, you'll see where you stand. You'll know where you'll be overwhelmed by His love. Some people respond differently. Some people want to get away from it. Some people want more of it. And you know where you are. You can see yourself for what you are at that time. And from there, if you want to, you know, some people repent. They don't want to be the way that they are. The things that they didn't deal with, when you're in God's presence, you know it. If you've been doing things that's wrong, and you enter into His presence, it's exposed. You know the problem. And you have an unction to get it right. That's why it's not good to love the world. We can choose not to love the things of this world. We can choose to love and adore the things of God. And if you can say it with your mouth, you can do it. When I want to make any change, I speak it with my mouth. When I want to be more godly in life, when I want to be more like my Father, when I want to be more like my Savior, I speak it. Now, the last few years, I've been saying that I will do all that's in God's heart for me. Because I need Him. I need to know Him. I need His will in my life, thriving in my life. And I desire that I do all that's in his heart. And I say it with conviction, because if he give me something to do and I do it right, it can win souls. People can live. People can live that would not have lived. Or people can live better that would not have lived better. For people who are seeking the Lord may cause me to say whatever it is they need. And other people do the same thing for me. Other people say things that I need sometimes. I happen to go to a church where people love God, and I hear things that in the Sunday school, you can listen to them on this broadcast, because I put the Sunday school lessons on there, and I learn as I'm in the presence of people who love God. And that's the way it's supposed to be. It's not a one-man show. I know in part, and I want to do whatever I can do to be a blessing to God's people, to help them see Him. The Lord is worthy to be praised. He's also worthy to receive. He's worthy, more than worthy, to help us in this life. Be just like Him. I had a message once saying, the message was for me to minister to God's people. I want to be just like God. Now, Satan wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted to be powerful like God. And he wanted worship. I don't want that. I want to be like He is in character. I want to love like Him. I want to be a blessing to people just like Him. And I don't want to dishonor not one of His people. And I don't want to hate anybody. I don't want to be angry with anybody. I want to be like God in every case. In every situation, I want to be appropriately just like God. I want to do what He would do. Years ago, somebody said, what would Jesus do? Well, I regard that. I want to do what He would do. And that just ain't going to happen because I want it to. I have to receive His word. Now, the word of God is life. And I'm complete in Him. And I thank God for the life He's given me. Now, the Lord has so much to say and share with His people. And I want to make sure that I do all that He would have me do. Now, He loves me whether I do His work or not. And that makes me want to do His work even more. He taught me that He loves me for me, not what I can do for Him. And it made me really want to do God's will. And every time I regard the Lord and ask Him questions and yield myself to Him, I always learn something I never could any other way. God is good and worthy to be praised. When I think about the Lord, how He made me, how He saved me, how He picked me up, turn me around, place my feet on solid ground, it makes me want to shout hallelujah. Now that's a song, but it's also my praise, and I thank God for that. I love to worship Him. The Lord is doing some things. He's about to return, folks, and He's got to come back to the earth and start judging the earth. And it's imminent. It can happen any moment now. And yesterday He continued to say, my return is now. My return is soon. He kept saying that. And I said, well, Lord, what do I do? What's the most important thing I can do today? I said, your return is soon to be. Help me do whatever it is that's most important for me to do. Help me occupy the little time we got left. Now, to me, a moment means any moment. But with God, it's letting me know the urgency, the last of the last. And I don't know if a moment to God is like my moment. You know, it can be. He's coming back at a time we think not. I'm looking for Him to return. on one hand, I'm excited that I'm going to be snatched away, and I've never been raptured before. And it's going to be exciting. And I hear the test. I've been listening to Henry Groover's Testimony of Heaven. And I got part one and half of part two. And we got something to look forward to, folks. We got something to enjoy. And it makes me want to be a blessing to all of God's beautiful people. God makes some beautiful people. Some people are so wonderful. And some people don't know God like they should. And they would love to. I know that most people would love to know God if somebody could present Him right. And it makes me want to help people see Him. And that's a great desire of mine. I desire to help people go to heaven more than anything I can possess. You know, I desire a new Mustang, but I know the rapture's about to happen. But more than that Mustang, I desire to see people saved. And I thank God for all the wonderful things He's already blessed me with. And I've received some of the things I wanted in this life. But I greatly desire to see souls in heaven. I think about going to heaven, and I want my people to be there. I want all my friends that I grew up with, all the adults in my life that always helped me out, and even the ones that was a burden. I want to see every soul in heaven, because it's going to be a joy just to see how people respond to God's love, and they get to live forever, and there's no more death, there's no more fear. They're going to love God. The people that go to heaven, they'll love being in His presence. And people that are not saved yet, I want them to miss out on hell. But they got to do it God's way. You got to believe on Jesus Christ. He's the only way out of this. And a lot of people's, their mind is on the end times. A lot of people are doing a wonderful job with end time teaching. And the Lord revealed something to me. Most people that study end times, they want to find America. They want to find our country in the pages. They want to find America. Where's America in prophecy? Now, I was watching David Reagan last night talk about that very subject. I sat there and watched him talk about America in prophecy, and my mind was on it. And then last night, the Lord told me where America is in prophecy. And this is what He shared with me, and this is what He caused me to understand. A lot of people think of Americans as being Americans from this country. And the Lord had to keep America a secret. When Columbus discovered it, the then known world didn't know that it was over here. If they had, they would have came, you know, and claimed it. This is good real estate. Every country would have coveted this land. And the Spanish got here first, and then the English, and then people from all over everywhere came here. Africa, China, all over the place. India, people from India were here. And they came and they lived here and made this wonderful country. And it was mostly Europeans came. And it was the Protestants that were the most motivated people to find this land and then structure it so that it would be a Christian nation. It was intended to be a Christian nation so that people could believe on Jesus. See, every religion beside Christianity. Now, Christianity is a relationship. All other religions and thoughts of men are of men. God had nothing to do with them. Even Judaism was supposed to be Christianity. Judaism is, you know, the law is the first step. But the law points to the Lord. The law is like a schoolmaster that prepares so that we'll know we need a Savior. But rogue priests and leaders of Israel became Antichrist. Jesus came to his own and they knew him not, and they hated him and they wanted him killed. The nation that he came from wanted him dead because they were using religion amiss. They didn't understand the purposes of God. And it was so bad that their idolatry was so strong that Isaiah had to blind them. The Lord said, who will go and tell this people to see but see not, hear and hear not, make the heart of the people fat? Isaiah did this. He was anointed to blind that nation because they went wild. They became wild grapes. Now, in the prophecy, he also said a remnant would be saved. A tenth would come and be eaten. And they're like the substance in a teal tree or an oak. The tenth that love God, they're like the substance that make a tree bloom. They don't miss the point, and they understand. They bring things to life. The European kings and the Roman Catholic Church, they turned Christianity into something different than it originally was. And they got away from faith in the Word. And they became more like the Jews that hated Christ. Now, every Catholic was not wrong or rogue, because Martin Luther was a Catholic. The man that started the Protestant movement was a Catholic, but he was a devout Catholic. Now, I want to clear something up right now, because I said things and some people could take offense. I'm not trying to offend anybody, and I'm going to explain more about this as we go. I have no problem. I have no animosity against the Catholic Church or the Jews or Judaism. I love every person. Hear me good. I love every person that was born on the planet. Even the wild terrorists that hate my guts and want to kill me, I love them too. But and I want every soul. If a person hate me, slander me, I forgive you. I forgive you. I'm not upset. Before God, I forgive every soul. People that don't like me, I forgive them too. I'm not. I will defend myself if I had to. But I don't hate anybody. Now, with that being said, Satan hates me. Satan hates Jesus. And his influence is hatred. And he started these other religions to turn people against Christ. Now, this is something that was going on way before our country was formed. That's why the Protestants, you know, the kings had armies, and they bullied the people. You know, if you believed on Jesus and you had faith, and you didn't say what they want you to say, they would kill you. Just like the terrorists will, the Muslim and the Islamic terrorists, the extremists, will kill you. And the people who disagree will kill you too. So the Catholic Church went rogue, and they taught lies. And nobody could read the Word, because the Word at that time was translated into Latin that nobody understood. So men like Martin Luther had it translated. He translated it from Latin to German. And he taught people faith. And people started getting saved. Not only in Germany. I thank God for Germany. And he had animosity against the Jews. Now, I don't share that with him. But what he did right, I thank God for it. He posted his 95 theses. See, the Jews are blinded. And if you study Isaiah, you'll know that and why they're blinded. It's not that. It's something that happened because they got into idolatry and they wouldn't leave it alone. And they got into idolatry mainly because of the pharaohs of Egypt and their witchcraft. That's another topic for another time. But the Lord gave me a book called The Spirit of Egypt, and it's on the website. It's on the It's on the Living Lessons page. It's a writing, and you can download it to your devices, your phones and tablets and smartphones and things like that, computers, PCs and Macs. You can download. Now, any organization that falls out of love with God will become easy prey for Satan to deceive. Even now, you got Protestants that are going rogue, teaching things that God didn't say teach, teaching things amiss. It's not limited. Satan don't limit himself to one religion. He tried to deceive everybody. Now, hear me good, folks. I said earlier that every thought of man, every religion of man, even the atheist and the agnostics, all those things are of Satan. You were designed, you were made by God, and you were made in His image, God intended for you to learn who He is. And He made a way for you to live through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only way to life. And no other religion or persuasion of man will work. Now you got one life, and you can believe whatever you want to, but you only have one certain chance you have usually one opportunity to try out whatever you believe. Most people who die don't come back and get to tell anybody. Now, if a person's a Muslim and they die, they're not going to heaven. They can't. If you're an atheist and you die, you're not going to heaven. And you'll stop being an atheist. You won't be an atheist 5 minutes after you die. You're going to see some things you don't want to see. You're going to see demons and you're going to see the hell. And you're not going to be able to come back. You're going to think it's a dream for a while, and you're going to realize it's not a dream. And some people, when they die, they look back and see their body laid out on the ground. And then they realize they're dead. Then they see things that they didn't know exist. They don't just stop. Nobody ever stops existing. When you die, you're aware of what's happening. I've been out of my body before. Now, the only way to live is through Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way. The only way to live is through Him. God gave one man to give us life. Sin in the earth realm through one man, his disobedience, and we inherited a sin nature from him because of that. He had children after he sinned. Now, if he had had children before he sinned, they would still be able to live if they never sinned. So sin entered through one man, and the Lord our God gave us life through one man, and that's Jesus Christ. So what I'm saying in real clear English is that everything else is a lie. Jesus is the only way out of this, and the Word of God is true. Jesus is the Word of God, and he became flesh. So the Protestants came to this country to build a place where they could freely worship Jesus. And if at first it was understood that everybody should be a Christian. But you could be a Catholic if you wanted to. You could be whatever you wanted to be. But you couldn't stop people from being a Christian. So the nation thrived. The youngest nation in the world thrived and became the wealthiest. But something happened. People got away from God, and the country ended up in debt. We have massive debt that it'll take an act of God to get us out of debt. Because people turn their back on God. They turn their shoulder because they turn their heart. So the way you find America in scriptures, America is comprised of people of all nations coming here. Those who turn their shoulder against God, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and others have prophesied what would happen to those nations. Now, these are people that were in a certain area. But remember, some of those people moved here. Now, once a man becomes a Christian, he has a new nature. And all the judgments of Isaiah and Jeremiah, like my ancestors, some were Egyptian, and some were from Europe. So when I read the word and I see what happened to Egypt in Europe, in different places, if I turn back on God, that's what will happen to me. The people who believe on Jesus, they're exempt from the judgments that's going to happen to the different nations. But everybody who didn't get saved, the things that's written in Revelation will happen to them. America was kept secret because this land was kept secret, and South America was kept secret because the enemy would have stirred people up to build another stronghold on this side of the earth. Now, the clue is the legs of Daniel. There were two legs. The Jerusalem being in the center, the right leg would have been North and South America. So the legs came about around the time of Columbus. And the nations, if you want to see what happens to America, you have to look at the nations. See, people looking at the landmass. You can't look at the landmass. You have to look at the nations and the way that they operate. The Egyptians were brother against brother, tribe against tribe. And when they're not saved, that's how they are. But when they get saved, they can have unity. Using that for an example, when you study the Word of God, America is in the Scriptures. But you have to look at the nations. Now, all who are in Christ are exempt from all judgments. They're going to be in the blessings. But those who harden their heart against God, they'll be in the judgments. So there'll be 10 kingdoms, and it's going to arise, and Satan's going to head 10 kingdoms. And there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. So there's going to be wars here. And the people who are left after the rapture, they're going to be judged and deceived. The people that knew better and they keep hardening their heart, they'll be deceived and they'll give their power to the beast. They'll take his mark and they'll go to hell. People that realize that Jesus is Lord, they're gonna run for their lives. They're not gonna take the mark. Now, how many people do you know would believe God to the point that they can't buy or sell? They can't buy medicine. They can't buy food. They can't buy gas. And they would rather die than go to hell. If they won't believe on Jesus, if they won't turn their heart to him now, what make you think they'll turn when the Antichrist come? Remember, the Antichrist is going to come flattering and lying. And people who won't get saved, they want to believe something else. They try. When you tell people about Jesus, they get angry. when they don't want to get saved because they love this world. And they always look for something else to believe. And some of them go start drinking so they can forget about what you said. And you think they'll lay down, they'll rather die than die at the hands of the Antichrist or surrender and take the mark. Now we preach Jesus all the time. People act like it's no big deal. And some people get saved and they still, you wonder if they saved or not. And all God asked us to do was walk in love. That's the best thing ever. But they'll rather be angry. But those who love God, they see the point. They know it's good to walk in love. And they're going to be tremendously blessed. And people that won't love their brother and they get in strife, remember, every evil work follows in man's strife. If you want to get rid of every evil work, drive envy and strife out of your life. Now again, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.